Now, back to the Bob Morning Show, brought to you by DJ's Home Services. Total Country Bob FM.
And remember, on today's Bob Almanac, just as we did yesterday, a pair of tickets to Free Fallen, the Tom Petty tribute, Medina Entertainment Center this Saturday. And Neil, it's got the Neil Freeman seal of approval as far as tributes, right?
It's quite good. Yes, I've seen it two or three times, probably three.
Okay.
It's very good.
Today, Wednesday, December 4th, so it's a quiz. Remember, if you haven't been here or haven't paid attention, and many of you haven't, but if you haven't been paying attention, the quiz means that anything that we say could be factual, could be some BS that we make up to try to be funny on the Almanac.
Right.
And that could be used and could be fodder for the Almanac quiz question. So
and
you got to be
ready. Starts now.
Yes. Yesterday's question was Ozzy Osbourne's real name.
Right.
And it was John. And yep. Jim Strelow of Hanover knew that.
He was the man.
Yes. Let's get into it here. Wednesday, December 4th, 339th day of the year. Our patent of the day today, Manila paper. Manila paper was made from sails, canvas, and rope. Patented in Massachusetts on this date, using what they had at their disposal to make Manila paper. And, of course, out of that came Manila folders. And, boy, I love Manila folders. Aren't they just a quality
just
item?
Awesome.
They're going to be here forever.
I hope so.
A very useful 1843 Manila paper was patented. 1816, James Monroe elected, became the fifth president of the United States. Of course, without that, we wouldn't have gotten the Monroe Doctrine.
Well, we needed that.
We needed the Monroe Doctrine. But I think the key part of this is the fact that James Monroe defeated Rufus King of the Federalist Party. We almost had a president named Rufus. I don't know how close the Electoral College was, but it would have been great to have a president somewhere in the lineage named Rufus.
We really do.
Yes.
And let's make that happen. If your name is Rufus, let's get you on the docket.
Let's get you in the primary.
28th. Yes.
Let's get you in the primary and see how you do. Let's move on to 1867.
Members of the Grange, it is my pleasure to welcome you to Chicago. All right, now let's hear it from you. How do you feel about the Grange?
I'm pretty excited about it. Everything I know about the Grange came from the episode, a couple of episodes of Little House on the Prairie, where they discuss the Grange. Charles and Mary, they go to Chicago for the big Grange convention, and Charles is there representing Hero Township, and Mary is there to see the adopted son of Mr. Edwards, which we might have a Mr. Edwards reference today. And she finds out that he's seeing somebody else and going to a cotillion with two people. He had two dates of the cotillion. I mean, it's Alex B. Keaton all over again. But the Grange was actually formed on this day by Oliver Hudson Kelly. Have you heard of him?
I have not.
Have you heard of the Kelly Farm?
Yes,
I have. It's right down the road from us.
Yes.
It's a great place to go. They've done the new visitor center within the last few years. Great place to go if you want to see how a farm was the operation of a farm in the late 1800s. You want to go there?
Okay. Yeah, it's a very cool place.
That is very. Have you taken your grandkids there yet?
I have not. Mm. That's something I need to.
So Oliver Hudson Kelly founded the Order of the Patrons of Husbandry, better known as the Grange, which is basically an association, almost a union for farmers, so they can fight up against the big railroads and the other things, for their collective bargaining.
Okay.
For farmers is what that was. And the little monument off of Highway 10.
Yes.
Right there, the entrance of the Kelly Farm.
Yes, I've seen it many, many times.
That's what that has to do.
Oh, that's interesting.
That little marker is about Oliver Kelly founding the Grange.
I'll be darned.
He had an audience with Andrew Johnson, president at the time.
Yeah.
And they formed that little thing for farmers. Worked out pretty good.
This was like right after the Civil War, right?
Pretty much. Yeah. 1867.
Okay.
1954.
Have it your way. Have it your way. Have it your way at Burger King.
Burger King opened their first fast food restaurant in Miami, Florida.
That's where it started.
That's where it started. Those two brothers bought it out, and I can't remember what it was. It was another word in the name, because, of course, I've seen the episode of the food that built America, Burger King versus McDonald's.
Yes, I've seen it.
And the first Burger King fast food restaurant, it had a longer name.
Yeah, it did.
And then they shortened it eventually, and, of course, it has been the number, I guess, is it still the number two hamburger? Didn't Chick-fil-A overtake it?
Yeah,
but if you go with hamburger. You go with
hamburger
fast food restaurants, it still would be number two. It's always battled against McDonald's and actually gained some pretty good inroads with McDonald's when the Whopper came out.
It was the home of the Whopper.
In the late 60s, because McDonald's did not have a signature sandwich.
Right.
That's where they came up with the Big Mac. Which is really funny, and I wish I could think of them right now. Some of the proposed names of the Big Mac.
Right.
Was hilarious, and it was some secretary who was just kind of hanging out in the back of the meeting room there who came up with Big Mac.
Kind of threw that into the mix and go, oh, that's pretty good. All these geniuses in there.
Yeah, and Ray Kroc, who was an idea man.
Yeah.
You know, and he didn't get all defensive about it. He said, yeah, it's a good name. Let's go with it.
Yep.
So that was the state in 1954. We had Burger King. Mm. Flame broiled.
That was the key.
1956, 2 years later. Let's go to Sun Records, shall we?
I like it.
Sun Studios, to be exact, but they also were a record company, Sun Records.
When I say
Memphis, Tennessee, Elvis, Carl Perkins, Jerry Lee Lewis, and Johnny Cash, the million-dollar quartet.
Love it.
It was an impromptu. They just happened to be there. All of them at the same time, a little impromptu recording session. It's all on an album now, and you can get it and download it.
There was some talent in the room, Jim.
They're doing When the Saints Go Marching In here.
Well, when the Saints
Go
Marching In. When the Saints Go.
So that's pretty cool. That's
that
cool stuff.
Really cool.
Back in 1956. Let's remember.
Here. Go away and let us alone.
Oh, scared, huh? Afraid, huh? How long can you stay fresh in that can? Come on, get up and fight, you shivering junkyard.
Shivering junkyard. Oh, boy. But, of course, they became best of friends eventually. The Tin
they
Man
would.
And the Cowardly Lion. Bert Lahr, who was the Cowardly Lion. I know he did other things. Was probably in some westerns, Neil.
He probably was.
Bert Lahr, but will forever be remembered as having to go through, back in that, you know, in the 1930s, to go through that with all the makeup and everything, the non-modern stuff, that was actual, real, like, probably lion hair.
It was grueling.
It was very grueling, probably a bit smelly.
Yeah.
Bert Lahr died this day, 1967. He was 72. So we talked about Burger King, so why not McDonald's?
Well, you're fine when you bite into McDonald's McRib sandwich. You'll find McRib in the middle is swimming in sauce.
It's McRib.
Tender pork on a homestyle bun.
Can you guess who's singing this? Isn't that a familiar voice?
Can you guess
who it is? Who's singing the McRib jingle?
You deserve a break today. McRib cooked up McDonald's way.
Don't you hate that?
Yeah, I know.
That happens to me now more and more as I get older.
I wanted to say Jerry Reed. It's not Jerry Reed.
It's Lee Greenwood.
There we go.
Lee Greenwood singing the McRib jingle.
How much did they pay for that?
I don't know. Well, they paid him in McRibs.
Right. He's got a limitless supply.
Oh, those pickles. Those pickles and the onion on the McRib. It's been decades since I've had one. And
it'll
it's not real rib.
Before not,
you know, but another great idea by Ray Kroc and McDonald's.
Idea guy. You said it.
And, you know, they made it a limited edition item, and it still is. It comes and it goes.
Shamrock Shake.
Yeah, it's like the Alberta Clipper. It comes and it goes. That's what the McRib is, you know. It kind of shows up, and then it's gone. It does its damage.
Right.
And then it's gone. And the McRib was nationally introduced for the first time this date. In 1981. How about some more food?
This holiday season, make sure you have plenty of Little Debbie snack cakes on hand. You never know who's going to drop in.
Whenever you get snacks hungry, Little Debbie has a snack for you.
Little Debbie introduced the Christmas tree cakes.
Yes.
This date in 1985.
I always buy a box for the grandsons.
Very festive. Yeah. Very festive. Leave those for Santa. Yeah. You know, he gets enough cookies. Why not some Christmas tree cakes? Great idea there by the Little Debbie people. And actually, there are recipes out there where people try to make their own Little Debbie cakes. I can't imagine them being as good.
No.
And they I also came across Little Debbie cakes dip. As if you needed more sugar, you can dip them.
What?
They have a dip for your Little Debbie cakes. That. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Bring it to a party and a potluck near you at some point
dipping
in time.
Dipping sugar into sugar.
And Winona farewell concert.
Oh boy.
The Judd's farewell concert, 1991. Naomi was Hep C.
Hepatitis C. Yeah,
and was having issues with their health.
Yeah,
and they decided to call it quits as a duo. And of course, Winona went on to have some rather large hits as a solo artist as
for
well
sure.
with that voice.
For sure, she did
I mean, it was going to be pretty much a given that was going to happen.
Yep.
They did have other reunions later, though.
Yes, they
did.
It
was a farewell concert, but it wasn't their last one. They did some later on. And didn't Naomi pass away? Didn't
Sadly, she took her own life. Yes.
That was it. That's right. Dealing with all those things, she just couldn't hack it anymore, sadly.
Right.
And that was this date, 1991. 1996.
Well, do you think Santa will like these red and green M&Ms?
I don't know. I never met the guy. He does exist!
They do exist.
Santa?
That commercial debuted today.
That is Tony.
Yes.
It sure sounds like him.
Samantha. Santa. M&M's, that Santa commercial, which I think they still air today. I know that the Hershey Bells one with the Hershey Kisses, that's been running for decades.
Yes.
I just saw that the other night. Uh-huh. You know, if you find something that's good, stick with it.
Why not?
Why not? And then 1997, this wasn't good.
We had an incident today, multiple incidents today in our practice, which involved Latrell Sprewell.
There were words exchanged back and forth, and asked Spree to leave practice, and he didn't, and the words kind of escalated to some physical contact.
Yeah, that physical contact was a choke, as it was this date, NBA suspended all-star Latrell Sprewell, not yet a Timberwolf. I think the conversation was P.J. Carlissimo thought Latrell Sprewell could feed his family on $6 million, and Latrell Sprewell said, heck no, I can't.
Took offense to that.
Exactly. I'll show you
$6
million. But he basically choked and threatened to kill his coach, P.J. Carlissimo.
And a few years later, he couldn't feed his family
million. And he was with the Timberwolves. Yeah. Timberwolves let bygones be bygones.
Yeah.
Because they needed a guy who could score.
Right.
And help out, who did
KG.
We have? Who was the big three? It was KG and then the point
Stephon
guard.
Stephon Marbury.
Nope.
No, he
had
left
by then.
It was Sam Cassell.
Sam Cassell, yes. 1997. Latrell Sprewell in a bit of trouble. We've got birthdays and, again, quiz.
From Hollywood, it's everybody's game of strategy, knowledge, and fun. It's Tic-Tac-Toe. And now, here's our host, Wink Martindale.
He is Wink.
Out of here.
Hey, welcome to our show. Nice to have you with us. Here's our current champion on
like
this
the
show.
New York Giants, right?
Our current champion is the government relations.
So, Wink Martindale, singer. You know, he did Deck of Cards.
Yes, he did.
It's more spoken word. He was a DJ, introduced Elvis on radio for the first time ever.
Right.
And then game show host. Especially, I love Tic-Tac-Toe. I'm in fourth grade, and I got like 70% of the questions. How easy were the Tic-Tac-Toe? They weren't. I'm in fourth grade, and I'm getting them. Wink Martindale. He's
what about
91.
Gambit?
Remember Gambit is good. Yes, yeah. Yes. Wink Martindale. I think he filled in on Bullseye.
Oh, he's,
for Jim Lang a few times.
He was on a lot of them.
Yeah. 91 here today.
I'm the champion crawdad eater.
At Oxford, Jethro put away 3 buckets of crawdad. Four. And he's learned to cipher and everything. Cipher some for Mr. Drysdale.
One and one's two. Two and two's four. Four and four is eight. I have to take off my shoes to get any further than that.
He was Jethro. Was he not?
He was.
He had his own way of doing things on the Beverly Hillbillies. Yes, Max Baer Jr. is 87. This guy has had quite a career when you consider he started in the Byrds, then the Flying Burrito Brothers, and then went full country. I mean, it was a great transition because the Byrds, not really country.
No.
60s music. But then Flying Burrito Brothers were kind of little southern, little country influence. And then he went full country with Desert Rose Band. We're talking Chris Hillman.
Awesome talent and a good man.
Yes.
You had a great interview with him.
He graced our Bob. He graced Bobtown, although even though we weren't calling it Bobtown at the time, it's not retroactive.
Right.
Chris Hillman, you know, he's 80 today.
Wow.
80. Wow.
Nobody calls me Lebowski. You got the wrong guy. I'm the dude, man.
Your name's Lebowski, Lebowski. Your wife is Bunny.
My wife, Bunny? Do you see a wedding ring on my finger? Does this place look like I'm married? The toilet seat's up, man.
There's the first indication you're not married.
Correct.
Or at least in the doghouse.
Mm-hmm.
Toilet seat is up. Jeff Bridges is 75 today.
He was great in True Grit, the remake. He did a very nice job.
Oh, yeah, he was very
Rooster
good. Yeah, he was very good. He looked good in a patch.
Yeah, he did.
He's
a good actor.
So Jeff Bridges, 75. Marissa Tomei, and I forgot to cue something up for Marissa Tomei.
Awesome.
I was going to do something, maybe My Cousin Vinny, where she's on the witness stand talking about cars, or maybe that one cameo she made on Seinfeld, where how does somebody so quirky and so bald not have something, you know, because George was wanting to go out with Marissa Tomei, but he was already engaged to, what's her name? And Marissa Tomei, that was a great cameo.
Wasn't she in one of the superhero movies?
Yeah, well, she was Peter Parker's not mother.
Or aunt.
Aunt,
yes. Yes, yes.
Aunt May, no.
Aunt May, yeah.
No. Well, maybe it is her mother. Aunt May was old. No, I'm getting confused with the other ones.
I thought.
The one with Cliff Robertson in it.
Yeah.
Whoever that was.
Right.
The one with Tobey Maguire. Because Marissa Tomei was in the Marvel ones.
Okay.
And that was his aunt, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's the way I
Marissa
have it.
Marissa Tomei is 60 here today. A couple more birthdays.
This is a good guy.
Tino's the finest club owner in the city.
My best friend ever, right?
Yes.
Yes. We have a saying in my country about people like him. The coyote of the desert always likes to eat the heart of the young. When the blood drips down to the children for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And only the ribs will be broken in two.
Tino.
Okay, well, Mr. Burgundy?
So he's going to ask him to do what now? Play some Yaz flute.
Oh, that's
you ready
right.
to play some Yaz flute? That's Fred Armisen, SNL alum. Ron Burgundy there, anchorman. He makes a lot of cameos. You know, he's now the band leader for the Seth Meyers show. The guy can play a mean set of drums. He's 58. We have two rappers. Our Jay-Z rapper. He's not rapper of the day, but he's one of the more...
Well known
and respected, and
is he the one who's married?
Beyonce? Yes.
Yeah.
He's 55. Our actual rapper of the day is Big Pokey.
Oh.
Because, you know, Jay-Z, it's a cool name, but it's not Big Pokey, okay?
Is he friends with Gumby?
Big Pokey. Could very well be, but that Pokey wasn't as big.
Right.
This is Big Pokey.
Sure.
At 47. And. I want to fall in love.
Right up.
Where are you, Lila McCann?
Right.
Country music could use you.
There and then she was gone.
Yeah. Kind of like the McRib.
She was a teenage
Lila
country
McCann.
Music star.
Lila McCann is the McRib of country music. Country music artist.
Yeah, so we're still waiting to come back.
Still waiting for the comeback.
Right. I saw her on a very good episode of Chuck Norris. What was the name of his show?
Think about Texas Ranger.
Yes, Texas Ranger. Yeah, she played
Walker, Texas
she played
Ranger.
Herself.
You know, the funny thing is she liked to apply barbecue sauce to her skin.
Oh, wow.
Things are very supple. Lila McCann, 43 today.
Gone but not forgotten today, Jim. One of our businessmen here from Minnesota, George Hormel. George Hormel. Some people say Hormel. Some people say root. Some people say route. And some people say Hormels.
Potato, potato, really.
It just came to me right out of the blue.
And the Spam
For
Singers.
For a good tasting meal in a hurry, turn to Spam Lunch and Meat.
Spam, 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 spam. So I went to the Spam Museum earlier this year.
Oh, you did?
And okay. I went out of my way to ask them, so do you have any containers of just the goop? From Spam, and they told me they don't use that anymore. They found a way using corn syrup or using corn, using natural ingredients to be able to maintain the moisture in the can without using that goop anymore.
Right.
You know, I used to use that as a hair gel. And of course, when Spam was introduced during the war, they would use that to lubricate their firearms, but no longer. That's not in cans of Spam anymore.
Well, that is disappointing. Good.
That was, yeah, disappointing, but good to know.
I haven't bought a can of Spam in, gosh, I don't know. I got to try. I should probably, I want to see what they have now instead of the goop.
All kinds of flavors. You see the flavors they had at the Spam Museum.
Oh,
my goodness.
Piles. George Hormel started Spam and so many other great meat packing products. Denny Moore, I mean. It doesn't get any better than Denny Moore.
Is that George Hormel's fingerprint?
I think it is. Yep, they use that to get into security. Spanish, and that was, by the way, 1860. So he was born a ways back. 1892 for Spanish dictator Francisco Franco.
Our top story tonight.
Our top story tonight.
Francisco Franco is still dead. Good night and have a pleasant.
Good night and have a pleasant tomorrow.
That's a Bob Almanac special.
It really
service,
is.
Public service, just for maybe for the hard of hearing.
Yes, we aim to please here on the Bob Almanac. There's no question about it. Spanish dictator Francisco Franco, still dead, born on this day, 1892. He was one of the heroes of World War II. Gregory Pappy Boyington, born on this day, 1912. Shot down 28
that all?
Japanese Zeros, and he organized the Black Sheep Squadron, which Robert Conrad would play that part in the television show, Ba Ba Black Sheep. You remember that. Pappy Boyington, 1912. Victor French, one of your favorite, my favorite, on a ton, well, more Gunsmoke episodes than any other guest star. I think it was over 20.
And then, of course, my old man walked his face in a frying pan, combed his hair with a wagon wheel, died with a toothache in his heel. Get out the way, old Dan Tucker. It's too late. Get his supper. Supper's over and dinner's cooking. Old Dan Tucker just stand there looking.
Mr. Edwards, of course.
Yes,
Isaiah Edwards.
From Little House on the Prairie.
And, you know, he has his own show called Carter Country.
Oh, that's right.
Where he was, he a sheriff or something? I can't remember what it was.
A sheriff.
But, yeah, Carter Country. Yeah, that's why he left Little House on the Prairie. And then that opened the door for Merlin Olsen and then came back a little later.
Very nice. Victor French. He and Michael Landon, very good friends. And
Highway to Heaven.
Yeah, Victor French, though, smoker. And he died. Him and Michael Landon both died very young, in their 50s. And Victor French,
too early,
born on this day, 1934. One of the Wilson boys, their drummer, Dennis Wilson.
One of the few songs here that they allowed him to sing lead on.
And he did nicely.
When you think of Dennis Wilson, out of the Wilson boys, he's the one that most epitomized kind of the California surfing look
beach,
and everything. Yeah. Right?
Yeah. He was a beach boy. And he was born on this day, 1944. And one more fabulous guitar player and musician, Gary Rossington.
Song on it right there for the Rossington Collins Band.
They had so many great guitar players over the years with the Lynyrd Skynyrd Band, of course. Gary, one of them. Then he went with Albert Collins. They formed the Rossington Collins Band. I bought their album. Or one of their albums.
There's their big hit, Don't Misunderstand Me, I think was their big hit.
Yes. Gary Rossington, he did survive the plane crash, born on this day, 1951. Sadly, they're all gone, but not forgotten.
Here's the quiz for the Tom Petty tribute tickets this Saturday at the Medina. Be the first one to call in with the correct answer. You win. Today, this date, 1981, McDonald's introduced the McRib for the first time. Who was singing the McRib jingle?
Who was singing
the McRib jingle? We talked about it. We mentioned it.
I mentioned a wrong answer.
Yes. It has to be the right answer.
Yeah, give us the right one.
Who was singing the McRib jingle here back in 1981, and here today on the Almanac, 763-450-0100, 763-450-0100. First one with the correct answer, and I will ask you, if you want the tickets, please call. We get a lot of people call, just they want to prove that they were listening. We appreciate that.
Yeah,
we want to know, and we want to know that you are listening and paying attention to the things that we say. But please only call if you want to go. Neil, would you like would you like to go ahead here with Mark Chestnut? It sure is Monday, even though it isn't. Lori Morgan, Watch Me, or Kiss an Angel Good Morning by Charlie Pride.
I have to go, Lori.
Sure you do.
WQPM, Princeton, WLKX, Forest Lake, KDBG, Albany, KDDG, HD1, Albany, St. Cloud, KDGY, Faribault, KLCI, Elk River, KLCI, HD1, Elk.